Hello and welcome to another episode of the podcast, which still needs a proper name. Today I was thinking about how about calling it Yoga, Sex and Psychedelics. I think that's, flowing. I feel good about it, and this might be it. Anyways, what I want to talk about today is the Eightfold Path of Yoga, also called the Eight Limbs of Yoga. And why do I want to talk about that specifically is that in our Western world, we always consider yoga being the practice of the physical poses, the physical exercises, which is true to some extent, but which is also not true to another extent, meaning that there are eight limbs to yoga and not only one. The asanas, the yoga poses, is definitely one of them, but not all of them. So I would like to go through the eight limbs of yoga, go a bit deeper into them in order to give you an understanding of what yoga actually is. So we start by understanding what yoga actually means. Yoga, the word yoga, means to unite. So there is a thing that we look to and to connect to and to see our true self and our divine essence, the ultimate self, the Atman. This is somehow the union that we are seeking in yoga. And the ultimate goal in yoga is to reach moksha. Moksha being the liberation and the ultimate freedom. And Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, he wrote the Yoga Sutras, he interpreted them also in a way that there are eight steps to this ultimate goal, to moksha, to liberation and freedom. And this is called Ashtanga. Ashta meaning eight, and Anga meaning the limb or limbs. So eight limbs. That's why it's called the eight limbs of yoga. Let's go through them very quickly, and then we can dive a bit deeper into each and every one of them. So the first limb of yoga is called Yama. Yama meaning the restraints, those are moral disciplines and moral vows. Then second is the niyamas, which are positive attitudes, positive duties and observances. Then the third limb is the asana. So these are the postures that we all are aware of and that we all know about. The fourth is the pranayama, which is the breathing techniques. And then the fifth limb is the pratyahara, which means the sense withdrawal. Then there is the dharana, which means focused attention and focused concentration. And then there is the dhyana, the meditative absorption. And then all of them leading into the samadhi, the bliss, or also known as the enlightenment. So let's start with the first limb, the yama. The first limb of yama is somehow the morals, the disciplines and practices that we are concerned with, or that we should be concerned with in our world. So it's a day-to-day, everyday living approach, and some moral rules that we all should live by. And this is really the foundation on which yoga stands. So if you don't have those yamas right, then yoga cannot develop and yoga cannot flourish. So within the yamas, you have five of them. Five yamas, the first being ahimsa. Ahimsa meaning non-violence. Satya, the second, meaning truthfulness. Asteya, meaning non-stealing. Brahmacharya, meaning the right use of energy. Here also meaning the right use of sexual energy and not the depletion of our sexual energy. So we can go into all kinds of abstractions from this specific yama, maybe in another episode. And then there is the fifth yama, which is aparigraha, which means non-greed or non-hoarding, which is again in our society very difficult because the greed is big. All kinds of meteors tell us what we should buy and what we need and what we should desire. So aparigraha, now it's right, is very difficult to attain, but also very important in our society. Okay, so this was the yama, or this were the yama, better said. I always have to excuse a bit my use of the English language. The English language is not my first language. So I give my best, I try my best, and I'm sure also it will develop as we go. So the second limb of yoga, the niyama. Those are positive duties or observances. So those are somehow duties directed to ourselves, considered to the daily actions and the outside world. And here are the five niyamas. First, saucha, meaning cleanliness. Second, santosha, meaning contentment. Third, the tapas, the disciplines or the burning desire and the burning of desire. And also here, for all of those yamas and niyamas, we can have certain, or we have certain asanas and certain practices to strengthen those. Yeah. And we can go into detail with that, but I'm sure also your yoga teacher knows about them and can help you with all kinds of things and can help you with strengthening those. So for example, if you want to burn the desire of something that you have come to the conclusion that you don't need, you don't want, and it's actually destroying your life or not, it's having a negative effect on your life, with the tapas you can have certain asanas, for example the boat pose. And you stay in the boat pose and you focus on the burning of the desire, of this specific desire. And you can try it out and feel into it also afterwards and feel how your desire lessens through being in that asana, having the intention very clearly on the burning of those desires. Okay, that was the third niyama. The fourth niyama, svatyaya, meaning self-study and self-reflection, introspection, and also the study of spiritual texts. And then the fifth niyama is very difficult to pronounce, Ishvara Pranidaha, means the surrender to the higher power. Yeah? Okay. So, short break. These were the yamas and the niyamas, the first and the second limb of yoga. And those two really form the foundation, the basis, the sediment of yoga. So get those right. Try to live those in action in your day-to-day life. And then from there, you start with the third limb. Or you proceed, more or less, with the third limb, which are the asanas, the postures. And those are available, and we're always talking about them. So I don't want to go too much into detail to them. The asanas, again, what I said before, the yamas and niyamas, they can be applied in the asanas also. The asanas are super, super integrative and applicable. So practice everything that you want to achieve. Practice that in the asanas, in the postures. Yeah, there will be a lot of disturbances, a lot of imbalances when you go into certain asanas. And the goal here really is to stay focused, to stay present, to stay aware, and to maintain this presence in the intensity of the asanas. Yeah? And then here we already touch a little bit of the tantric philosophy, which is somehow the meeting and the balance between high intensity and incredible presence in that intensity. So everyone knows a very intense feeling. For example, if you're in pain and you're crying and you're screaming and you have this intense pain, and then you're very much on the intensity side. But with the tantric philosophy, you bring presence to that moment, to that sensation, to that feeling of pain, and you stay in the middle, in the center of this pain, and suddenly you are in that place of samadhi, bliss, enlightenment in any situation, even though that might be pain. Okay, so much so good for the asanas. Then the fourth limb is pranayama. Pranayama just meaning the breathing techniques. Prana refers to energy and life source. And it can be used to really describe the very essence that keeps us alive. Yeah? The energy that is around us. And the prana also often is described as the breath. And with working with the breath, we affect the mind, and with the mind we affect also the body. So pranayama, yama we heard already before, so there is a connection to that. Pranayama then can be understood as prana, the breath, and yama, control, or morals. So it means breath control or breath restraint. Yeah, so that means that the physical working with the different breathing techniques, which can alter the mind in all kinds of ways. And we also use it to calm the mind, but also to increase intensity and then to stay in the presence of this intensity. So there was the fourth limb, pranayama. Fifth limb, pratyahara. Sense withdrawal. So in this next step, we withdraw. We draw back from the externals, from sights, sounds, smells, and all the senses that we have. And we're sitting in a meditation posture. But what we do is not yet meditation. We just stay away from our senses. So we look inward, we move inward. And in this way, pratyahara changes our state of mind. We become absorbed with then what we are focused on. So we're not anymore reactive to our senses, but really coming back into our center of being. Good. Let's have a breath, a short break, and let it all sink in. And then we continue with the dharana, which is then the focused concentration. Da means holding or maintaining, and ana means other, something else. So this means we now get our attention, take that attention and put it onto one point of concentration, in order also to draw our senses in, so it is connected to the last yama, to the pratyahara. But now in dharana, we really focus our attention on one single point, which might be our breath, which might be a point at our body or in our body, which can also be a visualization, which can also be a mantra. And this is the stage that many of us think of when we think of meditation. Yeah. So this is dharana, the sixth part of yoga, or the sixth limb of yoga, I should say. So then we proceed to the seventh limb of the yoga, which is the dhyana, which means the meditative absorption. And in the seventh limb, in the meditative absorption, we become completely absorbed in the focus of our meditation. And this means that we really dive in, and we are really absorbed by everything. So we open up, we are aware of everything around us, and we are in this state of complete absorption. Yeah. So we are somehow connected with not only our own body, but also the things around us, and everything seems to break apart, and it's more of a, it's not solid anymore, it's more liquid, it's more like water, it's more flowing. And this is the feeling you get in dhyana, the seventh limb. And this all leads then to the eighth limb of yoga, which is the samadhi, the bliss, or the enlightenment. And this is the final step of the journey in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And yeah, there is really not much to say about this space. It's not a permanent space or a permanent state. There is nothing of samadhi that you can own, that you can possess, and that you can achieve. It's really an experience. You can experience samadhi, but you can never have samadhi. Yeah? So once our mind is very pure and we truly do experience that state of samadhi, we attain moksha. And this moksha, or also known as mukti, means this is a permanent state of being liberated and released and free. So we come to this ultimate goal of moksha through the samadhi, going into ultimate liberation and ultimate freedom. So those were the eight limbs of yoga, I hope I could give you a bit of an insight into what yoga really is, how yoga extends further than the asanas, the poses, the postures. That's what we see. And you get a glimpse of that yoga is really an integrated philosophy, an integrated way of living, and a way to and towards the samadhi, towards enlightenment, and towards moksha, the ultimate freedom and liberation. So, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I certainly have. It was for me also great to reflect and to come back to those 8 limbs, to go a bit deeper, and to remind myself of the path of yoga. And I cannot take the credits for that. I have to give the credits to Patanjali. So whoever is interested in the specific readings, I have a book recommendation for you. Let me quickly open the book in my reader app. Exactly. So to get the name exactly right, so the book is called The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, and I think it's a translation or an interpretation of the Yoga Sutras from Sri Swami Sachidananda. Yes, Sri Swami Sachidananda. The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. So have a look. I don't know if it's even freely available somewhere online. Anyways, you can read through them. It's a great book to really understand the sutras. To go deep, you have short sutras and then an interpretation of those sutras. So one sutra a day keeps the doctor away. See you next time, and have a great day, my friends. Bye bye.